singing, and I pray that you've been praying that prayer, and you'll not regret it. You'll not regret it. Amen. Brother, Dr. Mike Van Horn. I always call you Brother Mike, but Brother Mike, come on up, and we're excited about you being with us this morning. You come and preach for us, brother.
Love you too. Thank you. Wow. You guys got something special going on here. I go to a lot of churches, but the spirit in this place is so overwhelming. It's hang on to it, church. Don't let the devil have it in any way, shape, or form. Amen. A bit overwhelmed this morning with your spirit of worship. Just walking through the door, it was like Paula said, there's just a buzz in this place. And it's electrifying to see people that love to gather in the house of God. Amen. The devil is a liar. Can I get testimony today? And he doesn't want the children to understand how marvelous it is to be in this place and to have the Lord as our guide. Amen. He just doesn't want it. But I do again praise the Lord, Brother Daniel. I guess I have been here with Mountain City Baptist Church since the beginning of the merge, when I believe it was Grace Baptist Church. I count Brother Joseph, and well, I really love Miss Hope. I put up with Joseph. Amen. But no, that family is very dear and precious to me. I met them when they were just young youth pastor down in Florida. And I guess I'm getting old is what I'm trying to say. I mean, it's just 21 years in ministry now. And we're just excited to see what the Lord's doing. Still doing work. Of course, I served for 21 years, most of those years, a little over 20. I guess I'm almost 22 years now, but for 21 years, 21 and a half or so, we worked with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and what an absolutely fantastic ministry Rock of Ages Prison Ministry is. The men that I've had the privilege to serve with are some of the greatest men of God you will ever meet in your life. They walk with the Lord. They're just amazing, great preachers, soul winners, and what an incredible group of men. But several years ago, the Lord began to work in my heart about this partnership ministry that He's put into our heart to develop. Ultimately, really, I'm doing the exact same thing I've done with Rock of Ages. For the past 10 years, I've worked on the international department, and we just developed the desire and we saw the need to partner with national men of God around the world. I work with Pastor David Barnhouse. He works with a mission over in Zambia, was a missionary there for several years, and he made this statement. He said, Brother Van Horn, he says, the most valuable resource any missionary on the field has is a national. Yeah. They know the language. They know the culture. They don't have to raise a lot of money for support to travel and move their family and uproot their family and make trips back and forth. That's all wonderful, too. I'm all for that, but that national that's been trained and knows the scriptures, knows how to preach the same doctrines that we have, when we invest in them, it's incredible what will be done. For instance, in 2019, with our partnership program with the Rock of Ages, we saw in Africa alone, working with 10 different countries, we've partnered with 68 men of God, helping them, assisting them financially, going into the different prisons and public schools. In 2019, we saw 38,000 souls come to know Christ. Documented. These preachers will come home, tell us how many they preached to, tell us how many got saved. All of these preachers, we compile all that information and saw that great soul harvest. Well, then comes 2020, right? And the world just shuts down. Isn't it amazing how the world can just shut down? It still blows my mind. But yet God knew what He was doing. We couldn't travel overseas. I made one trip last year. It was in the first part of the year to Cambodia when I flew home in the latter part of February. This is when all this broke out. So we didn't make any trips to Africa last year. But last year, we still preached to 118,000 people and still had over 18,000 souls recorded for the glory of God. Now, here's the good news. Guess what? That goes on your account. Because you've partnered with us, and you're partnering with everything the Lord's allowing us to do. And ultimately, what God's called my wife and I to do is just to take this partnership program and enhance it. Take it beyond the prison bars and go not only helping the inmates, but also helping local churches, helping other missionaries on the field right now. Currently, we're involved in a project where we're putting together a container for a missionary in Ghana, Africa. Amen. I got an evangelist down in the Alabama region, Roanoke, Alabama. He's raising funds for that project. It's incredible how God's bringing that money in. We also have now this is exciting to me. Never in the history of the United States of America has the local church printed the King James Bible in New England. Never. It's illegal to print the Bible in England without permission from the king, the queen. But in America, it's free, but it's never been done by the local church in the New England region. Well, there's a young pastor up there by the name of Trent Filer. And God burdened him several years ago to begin a printing shop or print ministry up there. He's been up there now for, I think, 6 years or so. He's planted that little church up there, Faith Baptist Church. God's done so many miraculous things. Long story short, he's in the process now where he has the press. A majority of the equipment is in the building. The building needs a little bit more work. Amen. But within 4 months, we're planning on having a Bible printed out of that print shop, the first Bible, and in September, we're going to dedicate that print shop to the Lord. Amen. But we're assisting him, helping him get that thing up and running. So, of course, we still have our ministry in Cambodia. What a tremendous ministry over there. Brother Lomer, Hope De La Cruz, he works in our Christian school, the International School of Truth over there. God's allowed us to work with, as well as the prison in Suwon City. We have about two to three churches right now. We're working over there helping to plant. So there's just so many amazing things going on. It's hard for me to compact them all into a 10-minute sentence of what we're doing. Amen. But I just want to tell you thank you for your confidence in our ministry, Brother Daniel, Brother Troy. And it's a blessing to be a part of your church. Amen. And you are going to love Bruce Fry. Amen. He is a great preacher and a great friend. Amen. I love Bruce Fry. We were scheduled to be together at a Mystery of Godliness conference in North Carolina last year, but wouldn't you know, the crazy rascal got the COVID and canceled. Amen. So he's COVID free. So I praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John, chapter number 4. You pray for me this morning. There's a great need around the world. You are a blessed among women, young lady. Thank you. How many are experiencing the wonderful Tennessee allergy season yet? Oh, my goodness. I heard I had a friend of mine tell me about this stuff called Allerplex. I don't know. And that stuff's been amazing. I've been pumping that stuff in, and it's not a drug, amen. It's an herb or whatever. Do you know Allerplex, brother? He's talking to his wife. I'm just kicked out now. Anyhow, the stuff's been amazing. It's helped me, but my head, the last couple of days, it's been crazy. But I do love Tennessee. If you found your place in the book of John this morning, would you stand with me? I thank the Lord for my Bible. I thank the Lord that it's taught me who Jesus is, because he's our example of what we are, how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do. He developed the first mission program, and I just love that he's recorded these things for us. I send out little devotions. I love to write devotions. I've been writing them for years. And this morning I've been writing about the heart. And in Psalm 34, it talks about the broken heart. And you know, Jesus is, the message this morning that I wrote was, forgiveness is the glue that mends the broken heart. And it's because of Christ and his example of forgiveness that we can mend our broken hearts. But here we have Jesus, and he's coming to this place. Of course, this chapter is about the woman at the well, and he finds this lady. Let's take up our reading now in verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Isn't it amazing he became 100% man? God was tired. It's amazing. And he did that for you and me. Now, that's all free. It's not even in my notes. And verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than the father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? In verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Father, I love you. I thank you for the deep well of the Word of God that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for this great story. And now, Lord Jesus, I want to pray that you would help me this morning to deliver exactly what you want these sweet people to have today. Lord, if there's someone that's listening that's lost, whether they're on internet or, Father, in the sound of my voice in this room, I pray that your message will penetrate their heart and cause them to see their need of a Savior. Lord, again, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Isn't it amazing how a religious crowd can drive away a sinner? I think about this passage as I read it. This woman, obviously a sinner, we know the story. Jesus revealed to her her problem. She had 5 different husbands, and the one she was with now wasn't even hers. And you could see that as the story goes on. But yet the religious crowd didn't want anything to do with her. Didn't want anything to do with a sinner. It seemed like a lot of the religious crowd are happy just to be gathered around people that are like them. But Jesus, our example, was not only willing to talk to her, but he ministered to her. He helped her. I'm thankful that God shows us in his Bible that we Christians who have the free gift of eternal... How many of y'all glad you're saved this morning? Amen. Yes. Isn't it amazing, incredible to realize that you will never see the flames of hell? Yes. Will never have to stand before God as a judge, but only in his presence as a father? Amen. Like coming home to Thanksgiving dinner. Amen. It's going to be incredible. Most of the world don't have that. They don't have it. Jesus' love for souls is what started the mission program around the world. You see, most missionaries that you'll find didn't just decide one day they were going to become a preacher. Most missionaries that you'll find that have a love and a zeal for God to just do whatever he wants them to do for his glory, you'll find that long time ago, back in the roots in their heart, they got a burden to win souls to Christ. They saw that sinner, that person that pulls up in the driveway, that person at the bank, the teller, the lady behind the counter at the grocery store, the young man walking out of Hardee's with a bag in his hand. And they saw every single person as a sinner in need of a Savior. And because of that, they had a great passion to tell that sinner about the Savior. Amen. It's just another beggar where to find bread. And they have a passion to be obedient to God. And I promise you this morning, when we started singing Victory in Jesus, and we started singing those old-fashioned hymns, I felt like we were singing directly to God. Amen. I don't know if any of you else felt that. But I did. It's not like that, church. But I feel like, I know we are in the presence of the Lord. When you're in church, you are in the presence of the Lord, but seldom is it recognized. I believe it is today and still can be, amen. But that missionary begins to grow. And then all of a sudden something happens. They begin to realize that God can take anybody and use them if they're willing. You see, my daddy was 57 years old when God called me to preach. So that kind of takes the age barrier away. I was 37 years old when God called me to preach, and I had a high school education. That was it. 4 years in the Air Force. I'm a man that loves to work with my hands. I'm an auto mechanic. I did auto mechanics while I was in the Air Force as a part-time job. And I came home, it was 1984, and I realized I was either going to have to go to school to learn computers so I could work on the new cars or find something else to do. So I went into the construction business, amen. So I just loved to work. But God took a 37-year-old small businessman and said, I need you in the ministry. But it wasn't just because I decided to go. It was because years ago I started a church just like this, a small little country church, Brother Daniel. And a preacher used the verse, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. My wife was pregnant with my son Josh. My young husband, young father, young businessman. And when I heard that verse, I bowed my head and said, Lord, with your help, you show me what I'm supposed to do in this book. With your help, I'll do it. And I made a commitment to God sitting in my pew. I don't remember the picture. I don't remember the date. I don't remember anything. But I remember where me and God sat in a pew. And I said, I'll read it. I'll meditate on it. I'll think it. You show me, then help me do it. And I said, I'll do it. I'd like to say I was just hopping right on it and everything he showed me, but I'm an old hard-headed Yankee. Amen. Y'all know I'm a Yankee. I got nothing to hide. Amen. Just a Buckeye. You know what a Buckeye is, right? Just a worthless nut. Even a deer won't eat a Buckeye. Amen. I hear you back there. Hey, but we got great big deer in Ohio, and I got one on my wall. Crazy nuts even hunt deer. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm the worst Yankee. I'm the one that moved to Tennessee and stayed. I didn't go home. Now you got me all messed up, brother. I don't even know where I was. But it was amazing how God began to show me how to love my wife. Began to show my wife how to love me. Really liked, amen. Taught me how to raise my children. We got a world full of children that Dr. Spock said, don't touch them if they do something wrong. Just tell them, no, no. We got a prison houses filled with them. My Bible taught me how to love them with the rod of correction on the seat of understanding. Can I get an amen? I'm not talking about a fist to the face. I'm talking about a rod applied to the soft, gushy spot where God put no vital organs. Amen. Everything's clear down there. Just a little sting will get them on the way. God taught me how to give. God taught me how to give beyond the tithe. He taught me how to give to missions. He taught me how to have a love for souls. And he taught me how to just simply pass out tracts when I didn't know how to say anything or I was a little nervous. And boy, I love gospel tracts. I leave them crazy things everywhere. Charles Spurgeon calls them the silent preacher. Leave them. My favorite spot to leave them is when I leave a hotel room. I want that next guest to get one. I'll put one on the counter there. I'll put a couple dollars in her, $5 for the lady that cleans the room. You know, if you give her a little bit of money, she might read it. Amen. I'll hide them. I put them in the extra pillows. I put them behind the ironing board. I put them in the ice box. I put them in I just put them everywhere. But I'm not sure that the next person's going to get one. So before I leave, I go to the bathroom and I take the toilet paper roll and I pull it way out and then I put a gospel track in there and wind it back up. Somebody's going to get that one, brother. I'm going to have a blast in heaven. Some dude's going to come up to me and say, man, you'll never guess where I got saved. I'm going to say, the bathroom at Holiday Inn. Jesus loved the individual sinner. That's where mission starts. Missions start when you love the individual sinner. most of the time people won't give to missions if they don't care about the guy right beside their house. Missions is something that, oh, here they want my money. Everybody wants this from me. But if you're a person that's concerned about your grandchildren's soul, your nephew, your niece, your mother-in-law, do you ever wonder whether Peter was upset with Jesus for healing his mother-in-law? If you're concerned about your mother-in-law, your uncle, your aunt, the guy at the grocery store, if you're concerned about those people, then all of a sudden when you realize that your mission money can be used for other soul winners to tell somebody you've never met about Christ, it'll rock your world. I like to say this, I'm just simply your internal investment broker. Amen. By helping missionaries, you're investing in souls of men around the world. Like you said, your mission program touches, it never goes to bed. It's around the world. So I want to take you now to the next phase of this story, and I want you to go with me to verse number 31. The Bible says this, "In the meantime, while the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat, I'll bring you up to speed. Jesus stayed there at the woman at the well. The disciples went in to get the money. Of course, Jesus revealed all of her sins, and she, praise the Lord, got saved, and we know that. And now the disciples come back, and Jesus is there. And in the meantime, the Bible says in verse 31, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of." He was dining at the Father's table, amen. "Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." You see, Jesus was the first missionary sent from the Father. It was his work. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, these three are one. One person, one mind, amen. Three individual units. You say, explain that to me. I'd like to. I'm just not sure how I can. But the Trinity is three gods, all that think exactly the same into one God. These three are one, the Bible teaches. You see, Jesus will never do anything that contradicts the Father. Jesus always pointed to the Father. The Holy Spirit always pointed to Jesus, and then Jesus would point to the Father. Ultimately, the Father is the Father. And Jesus came to finish God's work. The Godhead's work was to save the entire world. Are we all okay? You understand that this morning? Jesus said in verse 34, "Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Verse 35, "Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, that gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Verse 37, "And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth." And now look at verse 38. Now this is Jesus, really, his missions 101, if I can say it. He said, "I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Isn't it amazing? You know, the stock market's really something kind of incredible. People don't understand it. I don't. I don't play it. I'm not in it. I don't know anything about it. My father is pretty good working with it and such. But really, these men, their labor is to invest money into organizations and young starting businesses. And they'll throw some that business grow. You know why they want that business to grow? Because if the business grows, guess what? Dividends begin to pile back in. I remember a story, and it was years and years ago. Believe this? This guy came to me and wanted me to invest in his business. You know what his new business is? His new business water. Isn't that crazy? Who in their right mind would want to invest in bottled water when you can turn on it? Now look at it today. Here we have Jesus. They were amazed that he was talking to a woman, you know, like that. Now, I do appreciate the fact that the disciples wanted to make sure that he was well nourished and to take care of him, and he was very careful to let him know he was about his Father's business. These disciples still were trying to figure this whole thing out. They've watched Jesus do all these miracles, but yet he's God, and he's tired, and he's hungry. They just couldn't grasp this whole thing. Of course, we know that day of Pentecost helped him. Amen. But when you look as Jesus began to teach, he said, look under the fields, didn't he? He said, the fields are white unto harvest. Church, hell is as real as the nose on your face. A lot of preachers don't like to talk about it, but it's true. Every person that you know, die and go to heaven or die and go to hell. Or at the second coming of Lord Jesus, Lord, please come quickly. They'll either stick around for some real mess or they'll go to glory. It's calculated, according to the population of the world and religious figures, that over 52 million people die and go to hell every year. I don't know how they come up with that number, but there's a lot of statisticians that can do it. If I've done my math correct, that's 4,333,000 every month. That's 1 million every week. 142,465 every day. 5,936 every hour. 99 people every minute. And that, my dear friends, is 1.6 people just went to hell. All around the world. Many of the countries we visit, they don't even have a Bible. I bought my tickets. I'm headed to Liberia and Sierra Leone March 8th. Amen. Y'all pray for us. We have a church plant in Sierra Leone. That fella is just knocking it out of the park. But he just needs some help. He has to get that building. He was staying in a building or preaching in the building, and the owner wants to sell it. And there's just always something going on with these men overseas to just try and get them a place to worship. We try and get them material. We send them containers. We just want to enter into their labors. Now, I get to go, amen, but you don't. You're welcome to come with me if you'd like to, amen. I'm looking at you, brother. Yeah, I know. And I'll take you anywhere in the world you want to go, brother, yeah. But you folks can just enter in by praying. Amen? That's a part of it. No position bigger or smaller than in God's economy. My position as the one that's going is no greater than yours that just simply can pray or yours that can simply give. It's all exactly the same. But Jesus said, I sent you into a field and they're dying and they're going to hell. Really what started the missions program is after Jesus was killed on the cross and the persecution began to come, the people scattered and church planters went out all over the world, didn't they? And that's where we are today. But I like what Jesus says to the men, and he said in verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's going to be a payday someday. I want to take you over to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And just this morning, I was talking with Brother Stephen over at Calvary Baptist, and I'm so grateful they allowed us to stay in that room last night. And I just got a couple minutes with him, and I shared this verse with him. Because all we did when I met him is we stood around and talked about the Lord and rejoiced in the Lord. I mean, that's my favorite topic. You start a conversation with me. I don't know a whole lot about football or basketball. I know a little bit about deer hunting, amen, and some turkey hunting, but we're going to eventually get to the book because that's my favorite topic. And I said, listen here. I said, I want you to see what's happening right now in this situation. I said, in verse 16 of Malachi chapter 3, then they that feared the Lord, when you study that, that's the person that loves to be. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. God was listening to our, he's listening this morning. But then listen, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Every single time you tell somebody about the Lord, God's recording it in a book up in heaven. And he's writing it down. You know why books are written? Because people want them to be read. Amen. One day we'll rehearse those books with the Lord Jesus. And he'll remind us of the words that we spoke about him. And he'll remind us about the thoughts that we had about him. Now listen next. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man that spareth his own son that serveth him. There's a special spot in heaven for the soul winner. There's a special spot in heaven for the person that gets behind the missions program because they're concerned for souls. Special place. Why? Because guess what? Jesus, remember what his last words on the cross were? It is finished, right? God the Father sent God the Son to finish his work. He was successful. He finished it. But then guess what Jesus did? He sent you and me into the world to finish his work. Is it finished? For me, it won't finish, Lord will, until I see him, when I'll be just like him. Is it finished? That's up to you. A mountain preacher by the name of Harvey Tribble changed my life. I like preachers, amen. I like young preachers. I like older preachers. Amen, yeah, hallelujah. Well, he's older than you, brother. Now, I'm almost 60, so I'm real old. So I spend a lot of time talking to myself, amen. You got to be crazy to do. Matter of fact, my mom has a life verse for me, Matthew 17:15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's lunatic. Amen. So it's even in the Bible, I'm crazy. But Harvey Tribble taught me something. He's with the Lord now. He was blind for many years, read his Bible from cover to cover over 60 times, could quote more scriptures than the average Christian reads in a year's time. He said, brother, he'd quote Ephesians 20 to me. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He said, now, Brother Van Horn, he said, when you pray, he says, you ask God to give you a faith that cannot, will not tolerate doubt. God told you in that verse, he said, you can ask him anything. As a matter of fact, he can go far beyond what you could even think. Don't think small in your new ministry, Brother Daniel. Man, just shoot for the moon. The first thing we could do is fall amongst the stars, right? Think big. Dream big. Okay, now I'm about to land blast you, but that's okay. Because you already know I'm a Yankee and you already know I'm crazy. Brother Harvey used to tell the story. He said, I was a young man. He said, I went to a church, and he said, and a fireball preacher was preaching. And he said, that evangelist said, have you ever asked God to help you win one soul to Christ? He said, have you ever asked God to give you the courage and the strength to win maybe 10 in a year to Christ? He said, have you ever asked him to help you to win 100? He said, why don't you get your own number? And Brother Harvey's sitting out in the auditorium, and the Holy Ghost is saying, okay, get you a number. And he said, Brother Van Horn, I wrestled with the Lord for 3 or 4 months. He said, he woke me up in the middle of the night. It was about 2 in the morning. He said, he gave me my number. He said, for over 40 years, I've asked God to give me 990 million souls. And he said, when I pray, he says, Lord, you can double it if you like, and I'll thank you for the more. Well, that was just about the time I was starting on the international ministry. I developed a little gospel, or worked with a gospel tract. I found one to China, and I thought, man, this is great. So I went to China, and I worked with some national pastors. We ironed a bunch of things out on it, got it all set up, along with a website where the Chinese people can go and get some teaching and so on. I was working with the Chinese people at that particular time, and the website's still up. Hallelujah, people still getting saved. And I said, Lord, there's 1.3 billion souls on the a Chinese people at their population at that time. I said, Lord, I want 1.3 billion souls to my account. And Lord, if you'd like to double it, I'll thank you for the more. I've been praying that. But then all of a sudden I was praying it one morning and God reminded me. It was almost like he says, well, is that the best you can ask me for? There's 7.8 billion souls on the globe right now. I said, I got it, Lord. That's my new number. You say, how in the world are you going to get 7.8 billion souls to present to the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ? I'm going to enter into other men's labors. God's given me the burden and the passion to help missionaries, to help ministries, to help church planners, to help send containers to printing ministries, tract ministries, to do everything and anything I can to assist these men. I don't need to start my own ministry. There's enough church planners out there that just need a little help. There's enough medical missionaries that just need a little bit of help. There's enough printing ministries, prison ministries. They're all doing an absolutely incredible job. My calling is just to enter into their labors and to try and assist them and to help them do something that God's called them to do in a greater capacity. I'm going to enter into their labors, church. And by the good hand of God, I know He's in it. You know why? Because that was why He came, is to win sinners. He started by going to a little old lady, little young lady that was a pretty wicked sinner. He loved her so much, He told her all about Himself. Did you notice how He said the gift of God right in that conversation with her? Because salvation is free. You can't work for something that is a gift. You see, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He came to this earth through the virgin birth of Mary. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. And then He would go to that cross to die and pay for your sins and mine and the sins of the world. And you must believe that. That's the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of God the Son, Jesus Christ. The very first preaching message was found in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Come out of the wilderness after 40 days of fasting, and He would say to the church of Galilee, repent ye, or to the people in Galilee, repent ye and believe the gospel. The repentance is just simply the understanding of the fact that you cannot save yourself. You must realize that you are a sinner. You must be so sick of your sin. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance, the desire to change. Not changing. You don't get cleaned up before you take a shower, do you? You get in the shower to get cleaned up. Repentance is not a work. It's a heart change. It's realizing that Jesus will move in, give you the free gift of eternal life, forgive every sin you've ever committed, cast them as far as the east and the west, throw them into the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. And then if you say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart, give me that free gift, forgive me of my sins, and then help me lead a life that's pleasing to you. Born again. Hallelujah. I went to the workhouse last week at our church, or at our local workhouse. It's a prison release place. As we were going in, there was a young officer. He worked here. He said, well, I preached to you and asked. He said, oh, yeah. I didn't remember because I talked to everybody about it. I said, when did you get saved? And he said, well, my grandma was a preacher down in, I can't remember, some country. She's telling me she's always sending him stuff. And I said, man, that's great. I said, but have you ever called on Christ and made Him your personal Lord and Savior? He said, no, sir. And I said, you got it all up here, don't you? I said, you know Jesus is God, right? Oh, yes. You know He died on the cross for your sins? Oh, yes. You know He rose again 3 days later? Absolutely. I said, you can get Him from here to here if you just simply realize you need Him to forgive you of your sins and ask Him to come into your heart. Showed Him the Scripture. It was amazing. A young man called on Christ right there in the lobby as we were getting ready to go in to preach to the inmates. It's that simple. But when you care for the guy that's right here beside you, then you'll begin to care for the people that you don't have never met. And then you can enter into the labors of those that are working around the world. Amen. Mission 01. Professor, how to do it. And He's asked us to finish His work. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Nobody looking around. Have you allowed His finished work of Calvary to heal your sin-sick soul this morning? Are you 100% sure if you died you'd go to heaven? The whole world is thinking about death now. It's caused them to think of death in a different light because it seems as if it could be right around the corner for everyone. But have you settled it in your heart that you know because Jesus is in your heart that you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian on your way to heaven. If that's you this morning, would you slip your hand up real quick and just say, I know that I'm going to heaven. Thank you. Hands all over this, all over. Thank you. You can put them down. No way I could see everybody. But is there someone this morning, say, Brother Van Horn, would you just pray for me? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not even going to tell the pastor who you are. That'll be up to you. But is there someone this morning that would say, Brother Van Horn, I'm not saved. I'm concerned about my soul. Would you pray for me? Is there someone out there this morning? Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Now, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. It's just very simple. Would you just simply go to your, maybe Miss Jessica or an adult and ask them to show you in the Bible how you could be saved? And I promise God will do that. If you'd like to come forward, we're going to sing a song. If you'd like to come up here, then that person will take a Bible and show you how you can know that you're saved for sure, okay? And that'd be a wonderful thing. If you're in the audience out in the internet world, you can simply receive Christ as your Savior today by being willing to accept His free gift, admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that He's God, that He died for you, and asking Him through prayer to come into your life and change you and to be your Savior. And He'll do that. Well, I'm going to pray, Brother Daniel, if you'd make your way up here and take care of the invitation from there. Father, I love you. I thank you for the privilege to preach this morning. I thank you for this church. Over 10 years ago, they entered into our labors. And Lord, they pray for us. And Lord, they give their funds. They go to work. They work their hours. Then they take part of their life and put it into the offering plate so that we can go. So Lord, their labors I'm entering into as well. So Father, I pray that you'd please bless each person here. I pray for that little soul, Father, that needs to be saved this morning, that you would help them. God, I pray for the internet world, that if there's someone out there that's lost, that needs Christ, that they'll simply call on you today. Thank you again for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.
I encourage you to come. The Lord spoke to your heart today. We learned a great lesson from the professor. Jesus is our teacher. He's our example. He had a heart for souls. He had a heart for lost people. He went to them. He went to the ones that nobody else wanted anything to do with, but He had a heart for them. Has God done a work in your heart today? Maybe God's coming to you this morning. He's coming to you and He's doing a work in your heart right now. He's drawing you to Him. And you realize that you're a sinner and you're lost and done without Him. Don't go away today without Him. He is God's gift to you. He's the game changer. He's the life changer. He's the difference maker. He's the hope. You just come and receive Him today. I can show you from the Bible on how you can do that. I encourage you to come. People are praying. Today. Amen. You can look this way and you can be seated. Church, that's why we come here, okay? We don't just come here to hang out with each other. I love hanging out with you. I love seeing you. I love fellowshipping with you. That's one of the reasons that we come to encourage one another, but we come to experience the move of God.